So we're starting a new series on the book of Romans, beginning with Romans chapter 1 today. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn there. Romans chapter 1, as I make my way there as well. Romans chapter 1, that is right after Acts. Romans chapter 1. There's a Bible in front of you on each seat. This will lead us into Already? you are thinking, I'm still paying off my credit card from Christmas. Lead us into Easter. The theme this year is from the street to home and to the table. From the street to the home to the table, the lanterns. And each week we're going to, or as the sermon progresses, we're going to add a couple of things on the stage here to illustrate to you the gospel, the message of from Paul in the book of Romans. And I'm so excited. This lead us into Easter. And the reason we're here every Sunday is for the maturity of believers. And you're going to understand why. You're here because we want to dig deep into the Word. You're here because we want to know what this is about. We want to know what it's written for and why it was written and how is that going to change our lives. And that's why we're here. So when you come here every Sunday, I want you to come with your Bibles and ready to rock and roll and be ready to receive the Word of the Lord. So let's stand as we read God's word this morning, Romans chapter 1. If you have your Bible, you can follow along. It is also on the screen if you would like to follow on by that way as well. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart the gospel of God, for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness and appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord, through him we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to be the obedience that come from faith for his name's sake. And you, who are among those Gentile, who are called to belong to Christ Jesus. To all in Rome and who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord. Amen. You please be seated. Wow. Is this for real? Is this for real? This was hard for a lot of people to receive, to even believe and accept. Not only the message about Jesus Christ, but also the person behind the pen stroke. Paul, a servant of Christ. Is this for real? Is this guy serious? And if you were roaming on the street of Rome or in one of the churches in Rome, as a Christian, you receive a letter from Paul saying, Paul, a servant of Christ, you would vomit. And you would say, is this guy for real? Why? Why would such extreme reaction? Because Paul was not a nice person. Matter of fact, it was well documented and written down by historians and the apostles. This is what Acts chapter 7 wrote about Paul. This was a doctor who did a lot of research on the life and the gospel of Jesus. So this is what he said. When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious. So the message of Jesus was getting around and people were starting to talk about Jesus, how he was the Son of God, he died and he rose from the dead. And a lot of people had a problem with it. Mainly Judaism. Mainly Jews and those who were in charge of the temples. But Stephen, verse 55, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. So this was what's happened. And Stephen was brought out into the public square to be executed, to be persecuted by the Jews. We're going to kill you the same way we kill your Jesus that you're trying to preach about. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. So this is violent death in front of everybody in the public square. But here's what happened. And Saul approved of their killing. And on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen, mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them into prison. That was Paul. He was part of the Sanhedrin who made law and preserved Judaism, but also had connections with Rome, so he knew the Jewish laws, but he also knew the Roman laws. The Sanhedrin's purpose was to preserve Judaism in Jerusalem, but had political affiliations and benefits with Rome as well. That was Paul. He knew the Torah, and he knew the Roman laws. He went door to door, drag out men and women, whether to put them in jail or to kill them on the spot. That was Paul. So you understand when people in Rome received this letter from Paul saying, I, Paul, a servant of Christ, you would vomit. Is this for real? Is this guy serious? And somewhere along the line, Paul converted on his way to Damascus. It was recorded and well documented. Paul was on his way to Damascus. His name was Saul at the time. He's on his way to Damascus, and God got a hold of him. And rumor has it, it wasn't written down, but rumor has it, he was on his way to Damascus with the letter to get a signature from the Roman governor to persecute more Christians in Damascus. So on his way there, God took a hold of him and said, Saul, why you are killing my people? And God converted him at that point. And it was never written down. I don't know why Saul changed his name to Paul. But I can probably assume that when he began to preach the gospel, people were afraid of him. In Acts, you know, they said, we were afraid of Paul or Saul. So somewhere in his ministry, I'm not sure when it was documented or when it was when he changed his name, but he changed his name from Saul to Paul. In Acts chapter 13, it says, when then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit. If Saul changed his name on his own, probably because it made it easier for him. But according to the Bible, consistently from Genesis all the way to Revelation, God sometimes changes people's names when he called them to do a specific task. And I know that for a fact. But what changed this guy in 180 from persecuting Christian to becoming a servant of Christ? And the answer I got for you is only Jesus, or Jesus only. I have a confession to make before I get into you. Confession is good for the soul. You know, it's good for us to confess. It was a really hard sermon for me to write with all kinds of distractions during this week. Right? And I often share with you guys, some of you guys might know that sometimes, like, God will speak to me, right? And not in an audible voice, but like in a certain way. I know you guys are like, wow, this is getting weird, right? It's not weird. Let me just explain this, right? So I feel like our family's been attacked all week. Because today's sermon is really hard because I'm going to tell you about Jesus. No jokes, none of that. Okay, just Jesus and Jesus only. I should tell you this, right? So before Christmas Eve service, we were praying in here and working on the scene Emmanuel. I saw an angel hop from that wall down to that wall back there. I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it. Like, at the corner of my eyes, I saw an angel hop from that wall to that wall down there. So we went back there and we pray. And as we were praying, were you in the room? Or who was with me in the room? It was me. It was Lewis. Yeah, we were practicing with. And then we went back there and we pray, and goosebumps were everywhere. It was kind of cool. So I have this, like, sense that God is with me all the time, right? But this week, last night, it was really weird in our family. I was woken up by Liz. She said, New, are you okay? You okay? And I said, what happened? She said, you were screaming. And I said, I was casting out demons. Like in my dream, I was like, you get out of here, get out of here. But I was saying that as I was sleeping. It's never happened before in that sense. And I hear my son in the other room screaming, stop, no, stop, no. So we pray. And this morning I came here, I'm like, man, I'm ready for this. So whatever is going on in your life right now, what you hear today is very hard. But I want you to receive it with grace, okay? I want you to receive it with an understanding that God is at work and that you're here to be mature in the word of the Lord. So the answer, what changed this guy's life from where he was to where he is? If you were on the street of Rome receiving the letters from Paul, you would vomit. But the only thing that changed this guy's life was Jesus, and Jesus only. Look what he said. Paul, a servant of Christ, called to be an apostle and set apart of the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scripture regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David and who brought the spirit of holiness and was appointed the son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord, through him we receive grace and apostleship to call the Gentiles to be obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Christ. This is what changed this man's life. The message of Jesus Christ, which is everything that was against what he used to know. That's why he went and persecuted Christians. He said, Jesus is fake. It's not real. Judaism is the only religion that has the one true God. But he came to believe in Jesus. God took his life and now changed his life completely. Why is this sermon hard? Because what I'm about to tell you, culturally and unfortunately, we have reduced Jesus to something else in our culture. The Jesus in the Bible changes lives. The Jesus in the Bible made people forget what they know in the past and pick up the cross to went beyond the ordinary lifestyle to preach the word of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, culturally, we have reduced Jesus to something else. Jesus is just a good teacher. And some of you in this room might believe that. Jesus is a good luck charm. You see your friends wearing Jesus' cross all the time as a form of decorations or a fashion. Jesus the co-pilot. If Jesus the co-pilot, then who's the pilot in your life? Jesus is a checklist to make sure that we are still qualified as a good person. We visit church once in a while. Hopefully that God will accept us for who we are. Jesus sometimes in our lives and culture becomes an insurance policy. Just in case the Bible is true, then maybe I have some good standing with God. Just in case. Sometimes we treat Jesus as a vending machine or an Amazon delivery service to get what we want, when we want, and how we want it. Which, by the way, Amazon's amazing. Didn't Amazon save our Christmas? Everything I wanted was at the front door. Every day I come home. But then every day I come home, I was like, Liz, what'd you order today? If we treat Jesus as this smooth, assailing, I want it whenever I want it, we treat Jesus like a Chick-fil-A drive-through line. Always his pleasure to give us exactly what we want, huh? This is how we treat Jesus sometimes. And I'm not yelling at you. We're growing in this together. This is why we're here. We're here to open this and read it and say, hey, how is this going to change our lives? What do I need to know? We're growing in the Word. We're here to mature our faith. So what I'm going to tell you is the Jesus that he's talking about, that we believe here at Connected Life Christian Church, is the Son of God. He rose from the dead. He saved those who believed. Repent to him. And when we do that, we are saved from the pit of hell. We haven't heard that in a while in our culture, right? Where a pastor would stand up here and said, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, yes, you are going to hell. That's the kind of Jesus in here. So those who believe in Jesus Christ, we are saved from the pit of hell. And when we truly understand what Jesus did, it is life-changing. But also, that is when God begins changing us. Paul says, through him we receive grace and apostleship to call all Gentiles to the obedience that come from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Christ. Your attention up here. This was really difficult for people to follow. For people to read, this is really difficult for them to accept because it's coming from Paul. In that time in Rome, the Messiah was only supposed to be for the Jewish people. There was all kinds of conflicts that was happening. A lot of confusion as well. Well, we're Jewish and we've been believing in the Torah, and all of a sudden these Gentiles comes along and they can believe in what we believe as well. That is not right. They should be circumcised. They should start to follow all the Jewish laws. And Paul comes along and says, no. We've all been saved. And then the other side says, no, they can't be saved. Why would they be saved? They don't deserve it. They're sinners. They're Gentiles. They're dirty. They're the reason why this world is going to hell. That's how the culture was arguing with each other. So Paul, and you see it throughout the New Testament, he keeps repeating himself over and over again. Every single letter in the New Testament, Paul keeps saying, everyone is saved by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Everyone is saved by grace of God only through Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus only, and only Jesus. Amen. Jesus solamente. I wasn't speaking in tongues. That was in Spanish. Jesus solamente. Jesus only. If you are a Christian and have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is hard for me to tell you, and it might be hard for you to hear, but receive this with grace. I want to encourage you to grow in your faith and allow God to change your life so that you become only Jesus. What only have left in your life is Jesus. Not Jesus and the positive energy that you want your friends to send you. It hurts my heart when I see Christians, some of them are my friends, posting on Facebook, send me prayers and positive vibes. Is prayer not enough? Where is your Jesus? Send me prayers and your positive energy. We can't ask for prayer and positive energy at the same time. Either you believe in Jesus or you don't. I want to encourage you to grow beyond the feel-good Jesus, the good vibe Jesus, the vending machine Jesus. We can't have Jesus and praying to a rock in your house at the same time, as some of our culture is beginning to get into. We can't want Jesus and get hypnotized to change our lives, as some of our culture beginning to get into. There's these new Christian spiritual things that opening practice. Oh, we hypnotize you, but we're in Jesus' name. Really? Show me where that is. Because that doesn't make sense to me. We can't have Jesus and something else. This is what that changed this man's life. Only Jesus. We got to stop with Jesus and the vending machine type of faith. Again, I'm not yelling at you. We're growing together. We need to come to a conclusion in our faith when we read Romans chapter 1 from Paul. and stand firm in our faith that is only Jesus. Because Christianity, it's not a religion, but righteous gift from God. Christianity is not a religion. It's a righteous gift from God. This man went from persecuting Christians to this is what he's doing now. Romans chapter 1, verse 14. I am obligated to both Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. First it was written, the righteous will live by faith. Your attention up here. Righteousness is a gift from God. God gave us the right to be right with Him. In other words, we were never right with God. There's nothing we can do to be right with God. We wronged God so many times. We were on the deep end, and God sent His Son to give us the right to be righteous with Him. Kind of like in perspective, if someone hurt you really bad. And there's no way you're ever going to be friends with them again. There's nothing they couldn't do to win your love back. But you give them the right to be friends with you again. That kind of righteousness. It's not something we did, but God gave us the right to be righteous with Him. And the people in Rome needed to hear this. Because they were hearing something else. Remember, most of Roman streets were slaves. They were not good enough. You are not Jewish. You're a slave. You don't belong to Rome. You can't accept this, Jesus. God can't forgive you. You're the sinner. You're the outcast. You don't even deserve God's love. And here Paul steps in the gap and says, no. It is the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ that everyone now can be saved. And he says, I'm not ashamed of that because it's the salvation. It's the very thing people need to hear so they can lift themselves up. It's the very thing that people need to hear so they can make it another day. It's the very thing people need to hear so you can go on. And he said, I'm not ashamed of that because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. And culturally, we have reduced Jesus less than what He deserves. We even have Netflix series featuring Americans on prescription drugs. How is a problem? We have Netflix series on America's substance abuse. We have Netflix series on America on spiritual journey. And we even have bumper stickers that says coexist. And what makes me sad is that some Christian friends even have that stickers on their car. I'm challenging you to grow. We even have shows documenting how far the church has fallen away from the Bible and God. Pastors has become celebrities and not shepherds anymore. But the pastors that I know in the scripture were all killed for their faith. The pastors I know today, it's how they can look good in society. Who put them there? We did. The congregation did. Because maybe we have fallen so far from God. Church services has become a mass counseling service. Self-help sessions rather than teaching the Word of God. Churches providing and reminding people more ways to give to the church than providing people more opportunities to follow Jesus. We had a guy came to church last week for the first time. We're friends and looking forward to see him again. But he asked me, he goes, what do I do when I come to church? Do I give when I walk in or do I give when I leave? I said, you don't have to give at all. What do I wear? What do I come in and do I sit down in that? Do I where? Isn't that sad that people have this impression and this idea that to go to church means you have to give, not to come to church to know about Jesus and the love of God? Who created that? We did. The church, the pastors. And we made this into a sermon series as well. New year, new you. Really? Jesus died on the cross, so we can say in our sermons, oh, it's a new year, so it's a new you. Yeah, you can say that at home, I get it. But it's not in a sermon series. No, I would say not new year and new you. It's new Jesus and new you. Amen? N-E-W. New Jesus and new you. Not new year. The new year has nothing to do with new you. No, new Jesus. It's the new you. CNN published an article this past Wednesday, and this was their first line. One word can describe how Americans are feeling about the way things are going. And this is the one word. Bad. Bad. And I quote, only 1 in 3 Americans are feeling happy. I can't prove it. But this has any correlations with the very fact that Christianity is declining in America and continues to decline? Does that have any correlation to the fact that people are not happy because God is no longer God in their lives, but everything else? That Jesus is no longer the Savior. Jesus is just another culture of image and fashion and feelings. If I'm feeling happy, then Jesus is good. But if I'm feeling sad, then Jesus is no longer good. So Paul, step up to the scene. Wow, the world hasn't changed much, huh? This is roughly 2,000 years ago. And he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. For the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. I want you to hear this loudly from me. We are human agents for God. We need not to be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed that you are a Christian. The gospel is God's gift of righteousness. God is giving us the right to be okay with Him. That means we are in right standing with God through Jesus Christ. And the world needs to hear this, because so many people come through here wondering, am I okay with God? Am I loved by God? Am I forgiven by God? The answer is yes, in the context of Jesus Christ. And the world needs to hear this from you, from us, that we can't be ashamed of the message of Jesus Christ. We have a recovery service here on Wednesday nights, which we have baptism almost every week. We have 2 baptisms this past Wednesday as well. And man, when you hear these people's stories every Wednesday, I think to myself, man, you shouldn't be alive. But you ask them, what's the reason? Their answer is very simple. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. I'm going to tell this story like it's mine. It's not mine, but I'm going to tell it like it's mine for the purpose of the sermon. My name is Cass Maslin. I was attending the University of Georgia. My best friend's name was Ray. Ray and I did everything together. Ray and I went to school together. We went to clubs together. We did everything together. We played intramurals together. We had coffee together. Every waking moment, Ray was my best friend. We were roommates. We wake up in the same place and we go to bed in the same place. After 2 years of being roommates, I got a phone call from Spartanburg. I was offered a job. Oh, Ray knew. Ray saw me with my Bible study, and Ray saw me going to church, and Ray sees my lifestyle. It was a little different than his. But I got a phone call from Spartansburg that I was offered a job to be recreational minister. I was so excited. So I told my wife, or wife-to-be, hey, you know, I got the job. We need to go to Spartansburg, and we're going to start a great ministry together. We're going to reach a lot of people for Jesus. And that's where we're driving off to Spartansburg, and something hit me, like a 10-pound brick. You know, for 2 years I've been roommates with Ray. I never shared Jesus with him. So my fiance at the time that says, well, why don't we pray right now to see if God will open doors for you? So we pray, and we turned the car around, went back to the apartment, and had the opportunity to share Jesus with my roommate Ray. After an hour of presenting every scripture there was possible for Ray to understand about God, and Ray looked me deep in the eyes, and he says, I know everything about you. I know your family. I know your brothers, your sister. I know your parents. I know your grandparents. I know you're getting married. I know your job. I know everything about you. And if this was that important to you, you didn't tell me about Jesus for 2 years we were roommates? I don't want any part of your Jesus. Ray shuts the door, and I left. The most important thing in your life was your Lord and your Savior, Jesus Christ. And we were roommates for 2 years, and you didn't tell me anything about him? I don't want any part of your Jesus. I went on to Spartansburg and started a ministry called Upward Basketball. You might have heard of that ministry because now in America, every weekend, millions of students are playing an Upward sport. Became very successful in what I was doing. A lot of people were coming to Christ through the ministry. 10 years later, I receive an email from Ray. Kaz, let's meet for coffee. I became a Christian because I was coaching my son in your Upward League, and the gospel was shared to me. This is what he wrote. We drove away that day, very burdened for him. And it became a passion for me to never allow an opportunity to go by after that. I have to fast forward to tell you that 10 years later, Ray Ford became to know the Lord through Upward Basketball. After Ray told him, something this important to you, and you didn't tell me? I don't want any part of it. He made sure, Kaz, made sure that he will never miss an opportunity to tell someone about Jesus again. Because the God that sends Jesus, his son, to die on the cross, to rose on the third day, changes lives. Amen. Let's stand as I read this, as we end our service today, as the band come forward. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, to set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was appointed the son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through time we receive grace and apostleship ship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that has come from faith for his name's sake. And you, also among those Gentiles, who were called to belong to Christ Jesus. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. That should do something in you. And by way of invitation, if you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, today could be your day. I'm going to step back, and I'll wait for you over there. If you want to get baptized today, we open the screen. But there's no greater way to not start new year, new you. It's new Jesus. It's the new you will begin. And for the rest of us in this room, have you been soft about your faith? Have you been embarrassed about your faith? Have you been afraid to even put on Facebook? To even invite a friend to church? Or to speak out that, hey, my Lord, my Savior, Jesus Christ. Is there someone in your life that you want to invite to church or to share the message of Jesus Christ to? Last week we did a thing. Took the yarn, and it's a reminder that God is with us. And I hope some of you still have it. But what if this needs to be for someone else as well? Will you be okay with that? What if this needs to be for someone else? So if there's someone in your life that needs to hear the message of Jesus Christ, and you've been soft about it, where you made Jesus as some kind of fashion, some kind of social life, some kind of vending machine or something that's easy and smooth sailing. I ask today that you make a commitment and pray. Ask God for forgiveness. If you have any prayer requests at all today, our elders will be up here to pray with you as well. But we want to give you the opportunity to come to know Jesus in his burial and his resurrection through baptism. Because only Jesus can save. And my friends online, I know that's hard to hear. And I have a lot of friends that are not within the faith. And I hope through my Facebook, you get to know Jesus. Because he's the only thing that can save you. You this morning, we'll meet you up here. And you want to get baptized, I'll meet you on the side. Elders, let's come forward as we receive people who might have prayer requests. God, we love you. We thank you so much for all you've given us. God, forgive us where we fall short. Help us to be radical, because it is the message of Jesus that brings salvation to everyone. It is in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen.